you want to base your life not on being good. You want to base your life on God being good. So the foundation for your life is not that you're worthwhile, because who you are is not who you are. Who you are is who you are in relationship to God. So it doesn't matter if you're a harlot. In relationship to God, you're a virgin. It doesn't matter if you're a thief. In relationship to God, you're a new creation. It's all how you're related to God. If you want to be related to God through the law, then you're in trouble because you have to do a work. But if you're related to God through his other face, which is the face of Jesus and the gospel, then you're related to God and you're perfect and pure. Works will not make you perfect, because none of your works are perfect, because you're not perfect. So your being there is not who you are in relationship to him, but who you are in relationship not to him. So you don't want to relate to God as a servant. You want to relate to God as a son, or as his bride, or as his body. In other words, some relationship wherein he's the Savior, he's the Lord, he does it all, you get all the blessings, he takes all the burdens. That's the way to relate to God. So, as I've taught you in the last few weeks, for the Greek, they want to know what a thing is in itself. Greeks think that way, that a frog is a frog and it's not a cow. So that's Aristotelian logic. A thing is what it is and it's not what it's not. A thing cannot be itself and its opposite. That's Greeks. But Jewish people think totally differently. They don't think in terms of who you are. They think in terms of who you are in relationship to God. So that's the whole issue, is you want to relate to God through his left hand of law, or you want to relate to God through his right hand of the gospel. So it's your choice. No one's making you do it. He doesn't predestine you to be, you know, you're born over here. You're born over here. But you can be born again over here through doing nothing. If you fail over here, it's of no consequence. If you succeed over here, you don't need the good news. This is only good news for those that fail over here. If you are not able to be perfect, you just go over here and say, well, what do you have for imperfect people? Ah, not a problem. I can make you perfect by my son Jesus. It's a free gift. All you got to do is believe. So in the first case, you have to do something. In the second case, God's already done it. In the first case, it's already, you know, something you have to pay. But over here, it's something that's already been prepaid. I mean, you know, if you're a gift taker, yahoo! You're like a little kid. Now, a wife should always be a recipient of her husband's burden. Let the husband be under the law. Let the wife be under the gospel. Did you all hear me? So, Jesus is not really under the law, because we're not Greeks. He's actually declared to be sin, but that's not because he did. He is sin because of relationship to God. He said, go down and take care of them, because if they sin, they have to die. So I want you to be sin. That is, be treated as sin, be understood as sin, even though you didn't sin. And then you take it because you're the man. And then you'll get a wife who will take it. Do you see how that works? So all of us are wives of Jesus. We're the wife of Jesus. We're the bride. We're the blessing taker. Why? Because you can't do the work. Try it. Under the law, you can't be perfect. But Jesus can. He can. Not only can we love God outwardly, but we can't love God inwardly with all our heart. But Jesus does love God inwardly with all his heart, voluntarily. Nobody's even making him do it, and he does more than whatever the law requires. So that's perfect. And even better, he did it for you. And even better, he's going to do it in you. And even better, he's going to do it through you. Woo-hoo! So, this is a better, this one's a bad deal, but since that's Jesus' problem, the law is all for Jesus. He's the end of the law. Whatever the law is, it's just saying Jesus. So, he does it because that's who he is. Why? Because that's who he is in relationship to the Father. Why? Because the Father dwells in him. Why do you call me good? I'm not good. You're Greek thinking. I'm not good. The reason I do good is because of who dwells in me. The Father who dwells in me doeth the works. You thought I did the works, but I don't. I'm just a temple. I hold him. Now, Jesus is in you, so you're the temple of Jesus. But the Father's in the Son. So the Father's in the Son, and the Son is in you through the Spirit. So you're the temple. You're the Holy of Holies. Now, because you're the Holy of Holies, you can do holy things. If you're in the outer court, Jesus did a holy thing, and you believe. you're in the inner court, you're being discipled and changed into the master, so you're just learning. But if you're in the Holy of Holies, you're doing. So lovers come out of the Holy of Holies. They don't come out of the outer court. Here's where Jesus loved me. He took up his cross, died for me. He became the husband so I could be the wife. Over here is the fun one. This is the rest one. This is the get all the pleasure one. This is the fun one. Over here, I don't do anything. He does it all. So though Jesus in the outer court dies for me, that's so I can live. He dies, I live. He gets the spanking, I get the blessing. Woohoo! I get heaven, and I didn't earn it. Over here, I have to work for it, and I couldn't. So this whole idea is not Greek. A Greek cannot think that a man is a door. But Jesus said he's the door. So Greeks don't understand that. This is a stumbling block for the Greeks. It's also a stumbling block for the Jews, because when they saw Jesus, they heard what he said. I am the Son of God. You know, God sent me from heaven. And they didn't have a problem with the concept. Greeks did. Greeks thought that God's upstairs and man's downstairs. But for a Jew, God could actually talk to Moses and talk to Abraham. So they had no problem with that. The only problem is Jesus himself. He just didn't look like God, act like God. Well, for one thing, he didn't like them. Well, he did. He loved them. But they didn't like the way he was doing it, because for them, you labored on the day of rest. In other words, you have to do works. Jews try very hard to be good to God. They even go to church. That's a work. They go to temple. They go to synagogue. You know, they try to keep the Torah. Anytime you meet an Orthodox Jew, I always say to the other Orthodox Jew, are you keeping Torah? That's work. We don't believe that the day of rest is a day of work. We believe that a day of rest is a day of rest. So Jesus died on the sixth day so we could be free on the seventh day, so we could live forever on the eighth day in freedom with the wife. So it's all your relationship to God. Now, did you understand anything of what I said, even if it was obscure to you? Did you understand anything? I mean, if you just picked up anything, maybe you picked it up emotionally or picked it up intellectually, but maybe you picked it up that this is faith and this is works. This is Hagar and her son, works. This is Sarah and her son. This is faith. Faith is better. Faith believes that you can't put those two together in the same house. God keeps his hands separated. His left hand is not his right hand. He separates the two. What God has separated, let no man join. You can't have Ishmael and Isaac in the same house. Who saw that? Mom. Sarah's the one that said, kick out the woman and her son. Beautiful. But her husband, remember the husband's over here under the law, the wife is over here just expressing herself, saying what she feels, what she thinks, what she wants, you know, not doesn't care if it's right or wrong or true or false. She just simply says it. Get her out. I love it. You see how easy it is for the wife? I mean, Peggy doesn't have to be anything more. She doesn't have to speak from her heart. She just speaks. Just says stuff. And she expects me to sort that out. Peg, what are you saying? I hate you. I don't know what that means. Phew, okay, I'm getting it. And so, you see, and she just expresses herself. And I love it when she expresses herself. I just have to duck a little bit, but I love it. Why? Because she's free to be her. I don't want her to be what I want her to be. I want her to be what she is. What is she? Well, she's whatever she wants to be. She wants to be under God, she can be under God. She wants to be under the devil, she can be under the devil. She wants to be herself, she can be herself. Be whatever she wants to be, right? Because I love her unconditionally, because she's on the right hand. You see that? I'm on the left hand, but I do it voluntarily. I used to not. Now I do. Why? Because Jesus did that for me. He showed me a real man is not a burdener of his wife. He's a blesser of his wife. He takes the burden. Didn't understand that. I thought I was the head. You are. The head's the first one that serves. Oh, fool. I was thinking she should serve. You know, I loved it. And everybody knew this. I loved it. When I got married, the first thing she did was go to work. And then so I could go to school. So it was a great deal. You know, I'm at school learning, and she's, you know, off to, you know, trying to earn money so that I can learn. That's a beautiful arrangement. Do you all see that? Now, a normal man might feel bad about that. I didn't feel bad. I thought I was smart. I thought that was cool. Yeah, you just work, labor, sew, cook, do all that. I go off and, you know, I don't even come home at night if I want to stay down with the young people down there at their homes, you know. I can go down to Yale and, you know, goof around. You didn't come home. I know, but I had a good time talking. So I abused her all over the place. Y'all see that? This is a typical man, typical husband. But Jesus broke me. You know, but he had never been to Yale, so he didn't know his way. But he finally found a ladder, climbed up on the second story window, and through that second window right there, he spoke to me. Said, "Vanity of vanities, all's vanity." Me, vanity, of course, yeah, of course. But really, I mean, what are you doing? Just everything you're doing is worthless. That's not right. So I love it that it's all by faith. He wasn't telling me that so I'd do something. He was telling me that so I wouldn't do anything. He didn't want me to do anything. Everything I did was sin. Everything I did was wrong. Has anybody had a life like that? Where everything you do, you know, it was all to bless me, but I didn't get the blessing that was supposed to be blessing me. Y'all see that? I mean, being under me, Peggy had a hell of a time. It really was not joyful at all. Now, nobody knew that but us. But I knew it because she didn't say it. She didn't say it for 20 years. But she expressed it by frowning. You know, in a lot of ways. So, you know, guys are not dumb. They can pick that up. Peg, I don't think you really enjoy this. I don't think you're seeing the beauty of this. Working for me and blessing me. It's fine, she would say. That's because she was masochistic. No. So, I married the perfect wife who wouldn't say anything for 20 years, and she didn't. She basically had made a vow before she got married. I will not confront my husband. I will not put him down. What she didn't say was, inside I'm seething like a volcano. She didn't say that part. She just stuffed it. So I would say, well, Pig, are you completely happy? Yes. Well, you didn't sound completely happy. Do you want to say it a different way? Say like, yes. No. Well, you don't sound happy. Are you happy or not? Fine. No, it's like this. Fine. So, you know, when I walk in the house or the apartment or wherever, I want you to, woohoo, you know, something like that. You know, and when I wake up in the morning, cook my breakfast, you know, have the slippers ready and, you know, all that stuff. That's the way I want it. Y'all see how beautiful that marriage was? Of course, you didn't do it. And so I could excoriate her. I could, you know, reduce her. You know, Peg, what are you doing? This is your opportunity. Sweetheart, being married to me, what could be better? Y'all seem to be frozen. Y'all taking this way too serious. I was just a typical jerk, typical sinner. I wasn't a Christian. I was not a Christian. You know, I went to Christian schools. Going to Christian school doesn't make you a Christian. I had to go to church because my third father at 11 made us go to church. So it doesn't make you a Christian. I was a cultural, kind of intellectual type of Christian. I believe in the concepts. Sound neat to me, but I don't want to do them. You know, what I want to do is sin. I just want to be selfish, nasty. Don't do it. Well, I don't care. I'm not a legalist. See, I'll just do what I want to do. Do you all see that? But God kept pursuing me as my husband to make me the wife. I don't want to be the wife. I don't want to do what he said. I don't want to submit to him, David. I just want to do my own thing. I had talents. I had, you know, brains. I had, you know, I had stuff going for me. Amen. Do you all see that? I was a proud person. I was full of myself, full of my own juices. Amen? So you can imagine Peggy being married to someone that's full of themselves. You can imagine that she wasn't highly motivated to appreciate me. Peg, you don't see it, do you? I see it. No, Peg, I mean, you're not saying it like you see it. Because remember, she can't confront me. So she can't say, no, you're a jerk. She can't say that because that'd be evil and sin and she'd go to hell. Did y'all see that? If she did that, she'd go to hell. Now, I could say it because I don't care about hell because I don't believe in God. I never believed in God. I don't believe in God. He's nothing. I'm God. That's it. Do y'all see that? Paul, is that not a neat approach? It doesn't work too well, but anyway, it was a neat approach. It worked in my imagination. It did not work in reality. Peggy never did worship me. That's all I was asking. All I wanted was worship. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's not a lot to ask of somebody. Just fully appreciate. When I walk in, a little gasp, perhaps. Something like that. A few of you are laughing. I'm breaking you down. Because I was not a serious person. I was never serious. I didn't really think I was God. I just behaved like it. I didn't care if I was or I wasn't. It's just if I can get her to do everything, I'm going to do it. She can pay for everything and cook and sew and then be criticized and so on and so forth. And I hope she doesn't want anything in return. I hope it's just enough to be in my presence. It's kind of like the Lord, you know. A lot of you don't have a sense of humor, I can tell. You just don't have a sense of humor. So imagine being married to a cad like me. It's really no fun at all. But she wouldn't say anything. Say, Peg, is there anything wrong? I mean, just say it if there is. Just speak right up. But she wouldn't do it because she made a vow. I didn't know she made a vow. You know, she didn't want to say what she was actually feeling, what she was actually thinking, what she was actually wanting. Okay, this is what she did to herself. It's even worse than what I just said. She didn't even want to know what she felt and thought and said. Because I would ask her, well, what are you thinking right now? I don't know. Well, no, of course you know what you're thinking. You're thinking I hate you or something. What? No. What do you mean no? I don't know. Well, if you don't know, then you don't know. Do you know or don't you know? I don't know. You don't know if you don't know? You don't know if you do know? You know, so she was a non-person. Do you understand how you can get through life by being a non-person? Just you don't have any emotions toward anything. You just block them. Do y'all understand that? Because if you do wrong, your parents will cut you out of the will. Does that make sense? If you do wrong, your parents are gonna, you know, you're gonna be rewarded with, you know, being cut off or hated. And she could see that. And so she decided, I'll be a good girl, I'll never do wrong. Well, of course, that's a lie. Peggy is a liar. She's a complete liar. But she buried it so that she buried it so deep that she didn't even know herself that it was buried. It's like, I don't know. I don't even know. Peg, you don't seem to really love me. I don't. She would ask me. No, you don't. You're not, I mean, you're not excited. It's not happy and thrilling. Well, do you love me? Well, I don't think so. No. But I like using you. But no, I don't love you. I don't even know if I love me. I don't know if I love anything. I don't know if I'm capable of love. Do you all understand that? Do you all see that? I don't know why I'm preaching this, but I'm probably reaching one person here. Is it you? Praise God. So for this one idiot here, these things are really good. They're helpful. All I'm trying to say is, look what a bum I was. Look what a slob I was. Look what an ugly person I was. Did you know that Jesus loved that person? Do you know, until you love yourself that way, you will never know what love is. And Jesus sought me out. Of all the people at Yale, I would not have picked me. I would not have, you know, gotten the ladder and gotten up on the second story and talked through the window out loud. So Jesus spoke out loud to me and said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Well, that was me. But imagine coming all the way to Yale to tell me that. I think he was here in Fort Worth and he came all the way up. And it was snowing out. I remember there was snow on the ground that day. A lot of it, too. Because up north they have a lot of snow. And after he spoke that, I literally looked out to see if everybody else heard it. You know, it's like, did y'all hear that? And nobody did. And I realized that was God speaking to me, and I didn't believe in God. I was not a Christian. I didn't believe in God. I was at a seminary to learn how to be a pastor. But nobody at Yale really ended up being a pastor. You just simply wanted to be president of the United States. And you just took the religion because it was part of the culture. And all I wanted to do was design bulletin covers. You know those little bulletins you get? Well, I wanted to design those covers because I knew a guy that did that, and he was paid $60,000. In those days, the average salary was, you know, $4,000 for the laborer and about, you know, $10,000 for, an educated person. And so I thought, oh, look at that. All the guy has to do is paint, you know, little pictures on the front of the thing, little things about God or something, and you get paid all that money. Cool. One a week. What's the big deal? Did y'all see how shallow I was? Completely shallow. But I thought, you know, hey, it's worth it. Why work when you can, you know, just goof off and paint? You know? I mean, it's easy for me because I have talent. I have a natural talent. I didn't learn it. It's just natural. I understood naturally how to foreshorten, how to do perspective and so on. It's just easy, simple. I naturally knew how to shade and color and so on. When I was a little kid, I didn't make a stick figure, you know, a big circle with a stick and two arms and legs and a tree, green trunk, you know, blue sky, you know. I didn't do it that way. I did it differently because I'm just naturally that way. When I was 3 years old, they already knew I was going to probably go to art school. They also knew that I was going to be probably a singer. And I remember the song that I was singing one day when I was, I can picture it right now. I was in the sun, the sun was shining through the doorway, and I was singing, "I want a paper dolly I can call my own." And so my grandmother, my mother said, "He needs to be on the radio." And I was good. My mother knew 1,500 Irish songs. She was always singing, you know, so we were in a whole family full of, you know, singing. And so they just knew I was going to be that. And I always won all the prizes, all the art prizes, all the singing prizes, all the whatever. So I was a very, you know, gifted, worthless person. I had nothing going for me. We didn't have any plumbing. We didn't have any, you know, we lived in just a hovel. And, you know, it was just great. I lived totally in my imagination. Didn't have to have reality. Do y'all see that? I mean, this is amazing. Don't you think it's amazing that I could today be so wonderful? Coming out of all that, you know. Well, today I'm in love with Jesus. I totally love Jesus, and I love Peggy with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. Why? There's a Jesus. Because he took the time to find this worthless person and love him. And it's only love that changed me. The love was the truth that set me free. I knew Peggy didn't love me, and why should she? I wouldn't love me. I agreed with her. Well, I don't like what you do. Really? I don't either, but I just do it. You know, so what are we going to do about that? What do you want to do about it? She never knew. She didn't have any solutions. You know, it's like, you want to kill me or something? You know, one day I told you I was standing in the kitchen next to the knife drawer. And she said, "If I had a knife, I'd stab you." And that was her expressing herself. She was expressing herself. But in the moment, I felt like she meant it. You know what I'm saying? So I moved back closer to the knife drawers. She was about ready to bite me or something, you know. Now, can you blame her? No, I see you're waving your head. See, that's good. You understand. So she was oppressed. She was completely oppressed. And I didn't care. I had no guilt. I didn't care. I didn't care about other people. I just abused people, used people. They're nothing to me. Nobody likes me. I don't like anybody. Dog eat dog, you know. Whoever eats whoever first, that's it. Do y'all see that? Do y'all understand? That's who Jesus loves. Jesus doesn't love good people because there ain't any. They're all like me, unfortunately. It's just that I didn't have any training. So what kind of a marriage can you have? Do y'all see this? Now, what's this have to do with the book of Hebrews? I have no idea. No, it has everything to do with the book of Hebrews. You know what the book of Hebrews is teaching? First chapter. First of all, God. Starts out with the word God. God, who in sundry times and in diverse ways spoke to our fathers through the prophets. But in these last days, he is now speaking to us through his Son. So we know that when Jesus was on the earth, it was the last days. You are still living in the last days. You are now in the last of the last of the last. And thank God I'm here. Because I'm prepared for these last days. I love these days of sorrow, punishment. I love these days of difficulty and problems. If I'm not in trouble, I'll look for it. Do y'all see that? I want to take on anything and everything. Because I was trained. Now, I want troubles. That's why you are such a blessing, let me tell you. You are a blessing. Did you know you're impossible to work with, Nick? Very difficult to work with. But I have David, too. That's another problem. But then, Nathan. It's another problem. It's a blessing, is it not? It is a blessing. Why? Because truth sets free. I never knew the truth in my life. All I knew was lies. Truth and lies don't live together. Hagar and Sarah can't live in the same house. Ishmael and Isaac cannot dwell together in a holy temple. One of them is holy, one of them is not. Sarah said, without any logic or anything, just said, "I want the woman out." She heard God. And I now only want to live that way. Whatever God says, I want to live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. In other words, in this world which doesn't like what I just said, which hates people that do this. They persecute them. You have to be able to turn your back on the world and say, what is the world? I serve the world, what did it give me back? Nothing. So forget the world. All the learning is worthless. Everything I ever did, nothing. Phony, fake, zero. So what kind of husband? Horrible. Anything you could look at, I was a total failure. So when God spoke to me and said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, struck me as accurate. But it didn't go into my head. It didn't go into my emotions. It went through my heart. I knew that I knew that I knew in that moment, there's nothing to me. I am nothing. I don't exist. There's no existence here. There's only someone eating and chewing and wasting time. Vanity of vanity. In other words, vanity is like a little bubble that a kid would blow. Blow a little bubble, and then you go to catch it, and poof, it's gone. In other words, you have lived your whole life doing nothing but blowing bubbles, and there's nothing to anything, including you. I thought it was something. And little kids love that. And then they go to catch it, or a snowflake. Do you ever try to catch a snowflake? Where is it? It was beautiful. You cannot capture anything in this world. This world is God's world. God totally controls it, and you're just one of his, you know, creations. But he wants you to be a new creation, not a vain creation. This one is real. And what made me ever believe this? I don't know. But I no longer believed in this. I know that there's nothing here. I was a phony. I was a liar. I was a fake. I was not a lover. I didn't love my wife. I didn't do anything right. I did everything wrong. Have you ever been there? Have you ever come to that point to realize, boy, I'm ignorant. I am stupid. I am, you know, weak. I don't know what I'm doing. I probably should be dead, but for some reason I want to keep it going. But I really shouldn't be here. Has anybody ever come to that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. So that's good. Vanity of vanities, it means everything you do doesn't work. Everything I do works. The stuff on my left hand, it's all going to fail. Everything will perish over here. It lives for a few moments, like grass. It flourishes. Then it's dead. The next day, you throw it in the oven, and it's gone. Over here, you live forever and ever. Why? Because you're rightly related, not leftly related to God. Here, you're related to God because he made you. But here, he remade you into his image and likeness. And what has the image and likeness of Caesar belongs to Caesar. What has the image and likeness of man belongs to man. But what belongs to God is not what he made, but what he remade in his own likeness and image out of himself. Wow. So God's temple is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And now that Christ is in me and chose me, a worthless person, and said, Jim, you are worthless. I agree. And I love you. I don't understand that. What for? What do you want? I mean, I'm not going to do anything for you. I'll kill you. That's the boy I'm looking for. I love it. You see, God wanted me not to lie to him, so I didn't. I don't want you to be the Lord of my life. I'll take the goodies, but I don't want any of the other stuff. I'm not offering you anything bad. Everything I'm offering you is good. Well, do I have to go to church? No. Well, I'm not going then. Do I have to give a tithe? No. Well, your church says you have to come and you go to hell if you don't. What do you say? Well, read my book. So I read the book and there weren't any laws in it. It was all gospel. It was all good news. He loved me as a sinner. He said I didn't come for the righteous, I came for sinners. Woo! That was good. That's me. Totally me. I think this book is written for me. Has anybody ever discovered the Bible is written for you personally? This is your book. It's written about sinful, wicked, nasty, shallow, stupid people. That's me. Do y'all see that? Do y'all see that? Because the more you learn, the more you learn that you don't learn anything. Did you know the Bible says that with knowledge comes sorrow? The more you know about your wife, your husband, your church, you know, whatever, the more sorrow you're going to have. There's a lot of people here that sorrowed out already. They're already gone. You know, I probably shouldn't have told them so much. This whole side, in fact, is pretty thin. So thank God I've got a few more to ruin. But you know what? God is actually going to win and prevail. Why? I don't know. He just always does. And I've joined his team. I'm totally on his team because you don't do anything over here. The day of rest for me is the day of rest. I can't imagine why the Jewish people on the day of rest would work. Why would you work when it's a day of rest? If God isn't doing anything, how can you do anything? How can you do something if God isn't doing something? You remember on 6 days, he ceased his labor, and he said, that's it. Well, then you can't do anything on the seventh day. So, we are not the children of the sixth day or the seventh day, but of the eighth day, which is after the seventh day, which is a day of rest. So, it's all joy, joy unspeakable. Sixth is over here. How can you labor over here on the seventh day and still do labor when God's not laboring anymore? Because only if he's in you do you labor. So that's why they don't labor from the heart, because he isn't in their heart. You see, he's not in Ishmael, he's not in Moses, he's not in anything. Why didn't the Jewish people follow Abraham on the right side, where God did it all? Abraham never did one good thing, never, not one. God said, leave your country, leave your family. So he said to his dad, let's go. Took his nephew along. You think that's right? Is that perfect? He left Ur, but he took his dad with him and his nephew and, you know, whatnot and all kinds of servants and stuff. I thought I said leave. So then he says, okay, I'm taking you to the promised land. But then they stop off in Haran, where his other relatives live, and he stays there for years and years and years and years and years till his dad finally dies. And he goes, well, probably time now to do what God said. This is not a man of obedience. This is a man of faith. He hasn't done anything. Then he finally gets to the promised land. As soon as he gets there, he goes, oh my God, look at this place. It's all rocks. I mean, if you've ever been to Israel, there's nothing there but rocks. They hardly have any grass. It's just a barren waste. And not only that, there was a famine in the land. Well, naturally, it's all there's rocks. It's kind of hard to grow stuff in rocks. But at any rate, so he left, went on to Egypt. That thing was well watered. He loved that place. Wow. And but he still had his nephew with him. So dad's gone, but still got the nephew with him. And he goes down there and he starts lying. Did you remember that? He said to his wife, now look, Sarah, when we get down there, you're kind of cute, and those Egyptians go for cute. So what you're going to do is don't say you're my wife, say you're my sister. She actually was his sister and his wife. Forget that. You read the Bible, you find out. But anyway, so she doesn't say that she's his wife, and so the Pharaoh takes her into his harem. Do you think that's obedient? To put your wife in that kind of a situation? How many think he has a good husband? He's not. Man, I could hardly wait to get there and get rid of her. No. So he gets rid of his wife like that, and one day the Pharaoh's looking out the window, and he sees Abraham messing around with his wife. It's like, uh-oh. So he calls him in. He said, what are you doing? What'd you do to me, you man of God? What'd you do to me? Why didn't you tell me? Well, she is my sister, technically. I mean, no, Christians are just phony as all get out. Anyway, but here's one thing going for Abraham. He didn't think his faith was in his faith. That's the way Greeks would think. He thought like a Hebrew. My faith is not in my faith. It's in God's faithfulness. I believe God can't lie. He chose me. I didn't choose him. I'm not doing any work. God does all the work. He said, I will, 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 I will. 7 times. I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great. Curse you that curse you. Bless those that bless you. Make you blah, 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 blah. He said, you made all the promises. I never heard the other shoe drop. You never told me what I had to do. You just simply said, just keep faith in this covenant that I just established with you. It's one-sided, unilateral. There's nothing on your side. And Abraham said, cool. That's something that a Jew can understand. I'll buy 2 of those. Give me 2 of those. That is a good deal. Where you do it all, and I do nothing, and I get all the blessing. I love it. Don't you see? The wife is on the right side of God. Over here is the law, what you must do. Over here is don't do anything. I do it all. Over here is thank you for doing it all on my behalf. It's beautiful. That's the gospel. So the gospel is you can't do anything just like me. I never did anything right. And I've told you this before. I never even thought I did anything right ever. I never thought to myself, by God, I did something good. I never thought that. I always knew I cheated that person. I got to that person before they got to me. I lied beautifully right there. I stole. When they were talking to me, I was actually reaching around back behind and grabbing that thing, and they didn't see it. And I love that kind of stuff. While they went away on a trip, I climbed in the window, took their stuff, and you know, so on. I love that. I practice that. And I practice looking innocent. Do I not have an innocent-looking face? I mean, this has developed over the years. Kathleen, don't I look like a nice person? I do not look like somebody that would kill you. You know, see, I didn't want that. Now, you know, my relatives are like that. You know, Uncle Duke, he's mafia, Irish mafia. Uncle Tom, he's Italian mafia. Uncle Vic, he's Italian mafia. You know, all of my family is bad. But I turned out wonderful. I just lied without killing. But I really had no codes. I had no religion. I had no morals. I had nothing. I didn't care. I did not care if I lived or died. It's just as long as I live, I'm going to take everything I can get. Did y'all see that? So when Jesus met me, he put me on the right side and said, Jim, don't you dare do anything. Don't you dare. I've done everything. Got that? you can't stop me. He said, oh, it's okay. I got it rigged in such a way that even though I did everything and even though I told you not to do anything, I know you're going to do something, but I'm going to forgive you anyway. Wow. This is even better than I thought. And what if I don't thank you? I'm still going to bless you because I love you. What if I screw up your whole deal? I'm still going to love you because I love you. Cool. I tell you, that's such good news. I couldn't think of anything. What if I kill you? What if I tell on you? You know, whatever. And he said, no, I'm never going to stop loving you. Wow, that taught me a new way to look at Peggy. The way he related to me, he said, as I am, as the Father is to the Son, so the Son is it to every man to his wife. And I thought about it, well, I'm not doing that at all. But Jesus is teaching me a new way here. I'm on the right hand. I could drop over here on the left hand and be just like God was to me. I can be like that to Peggy. So Peggy, get over here on the right hand. I'll get over here on the left hand. And I'm doing it voluntarily. I want to do it. I don't want to take care of me anymore. I want just you to be happy all the time. How you doing? Don't see that. She still wasn't. And so I tickled her. And she still wasn't. You know, no matter what I would do, Peggy was, she was bound and determined not to respond well to love. I said, well, I'm a Christian now. I love Jesus. I love you. You should be happy. I'm fine. Y'all see that? A woman you can't please. Can you imagine that? You just can't please her. What a surprise. I thought if I ever became a Christian and I ever became a loving husband, that would be nice. How many know that people don't appreciate people? Do y'all know that? I don't care. The more you love somebody, the more they're going to hurt you. Did you hear what I just said? The more you go, well, I don't know how they could do that after all I did for them. Oh, in fact, the only people that you help are the ones that are going to hurt you. That's interesting. Even my enemies don't treat me like that. Here you are right here in my own home. Did you remember Jesus said that? My own friend. Remember he called Judas a friend? Friend. And what have I done to you? And yet, the one who's eaten bread with me is the one that's going to betray me. How neat, isn't it? And Peter. Peter's the one that denies him. And the others, they all abandoned him. I tell you, he had some good followers. Amen? It reminds me of our church. We have a church very similar to that. You know? Don't you see how beautiful this job is? This is a great job. It's a good job. Why? Because you belong over here. Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed, no matter what. Fine. You know, that's what God said. God said, Jim, you do it the way I do it. I'm dwelling in you as a church because I want you to get a hold of this. God over the Son. The Son is not a creature. He is also a creator. And now in verse 4 it says, which is our scripture for today, which I'm going to end in a minute. Verse 4 says, how much more better, how much greater is the Son than any angel? Jehovah's Witnesses think Jesus is an angel, a creature. It couldn't be. Because it says right here in the 4th verse, that Jesus, the Son, is greater than any creature or angel. Just got done describing him. That he is God himself And if we keep reading, it'll say, let all the angels of God, all the angels, so he couldn't be one of them, let all the angels of God worship him. Now, in the book of Revelation, if you worship a creature, you've committed blasphemy. You can only worship God. So that would mean if you worship Jesus, the Son, you're worshiping God. So how can the Father be greater than the Son, but the Son be equal to the Father? And Jesus said both, and that's why the Jews killed him. And Jesus wanted to be killed. He wanted that. He didn't come to live, he came to die. Isn't that amazing, David? Just like you've been born into the world to die for your wife. Lay down your life for her, because she's worth it, right? Do you want to say that? Yes, she's worth it. Say it. Yeah, praise God. I made him say it, because he might not have said it otherwise. But that was good. You did good, because I was counting on you. Now, you've got to be able to say to your wife, you are worth it, not with words, but in the way you live. You are worth anything. I don't care what you throw at me, what you do to me, I will never, ever leave you or forsake you. I will always love you. Fixed. Can you do that? Yeah, you can say it. You can say it. But can you do that? No. But Christ in you is the only one that can do that. And it's the death of you. You won't be you anymore. You'll be a you in relationship, not a you who you are, you in yourself. You'll be a relationship of you in Jesus, Jesus in you. That's relationship. That's who you are. You are not who you are. You are who you are in relationship to who God is. And who is he? Jesus reveals him. He is a loving Father. He's not an angry judge. He is not a God of the law. The law was on me, not on you. God never put a law on you, ever, 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 ever. The law of nature, that law is all for you. Every law that he's ever given was always for you. It was never to destroy you. It was only to destroy your confidence in yourself. So the law is good. How many know the law is good? It's God's law. It's describing God. He hates sin, but doesn't hate you. He hates sin, doesn't hate you. So when you spank a child, you're not spanking the child for who they are. You're spanking a child because you love them, because a father that loves his son chastens him. Why? To knock out the sin, not to knock out the child. You're not breaking the child's spirit, you're breaking his will. You're not breaking the child's spirit, you're breaking his will. You're not saying you will be good. You're just saying you're going to behave. That's all you're saying. You're just breaking his will. How many know that a person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still? I mean, even after you spank them, that doesn't mean the little kid's going to do what you say. All you did was stop his will for a few minutes. But as soon as you leave, walk out of the room, right back to what they're going to do. Here's the deal. God loves all of us. And no matter who you are, what you've done, God forgives all of that. Put that all on Jesus. Never had any weight on you. You don't have to be good. Just be you. Just be you. Well, who are you? Anything you want to be. You can change your mind every 3 seconds. You can be whatever you want to be. You want to be on this side or on this side? Those are your choices. You want to be in you? It doesn't exist. You're either in Satan or you're in Jesus. That's it. You're in Adam or you're in Christ. Now, theo in the Greek is God or deity. But in this case, it will say God is theo. So that means God the Father, because it says God, theo, or theo, 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 God, what? In various ways, over many eons, has spoken to us through prophets and so on and so forth. But now in these last days, through his Son. So God and his Son. So the Son is also God. And archaeon logos en hologos proston theon. And hologos is God. He's theos. So Jesus is God. He's not just with God. He's not just, you know, there at the beginning with him and so on. He's actually God. So that ruins all kinds of theology not known through your mind. You cannot know him through Hagar. You cannot know God except in the way he wishes to be known. You want to know him this way? Then you know him as theos, not theos. Here, you see his heart. Here, you only see his law. But it wasn't for you. So you made a big mistake. So God is now, I have to quit now. I have to quit now. Because when those guys get up, that means I have to sit down. Amen. So I'm going to finish it up. God is not an angel. God cannot dwell in an angel. An angel can never be the temple of God. Jesus is not going to marry an angel or be an angel. He is greater than any angel. He is more than Solomon. He is more than, more than, more than. So there's nothing on earth, there's nothing in the heavens, there's nothing that can compare. This son is unique, and he is prototokos. Now, proto means, how many know what proto means? Like proton. Proto means first. First. Now, tokos means creator, okay? Or creation, katesis, K-T-I-S-I-S, katesis. Now, is Jesus then the first born? So that tokon means born? Or is he the first begetor? The first creator? Well, the answer is very simple, because he's going through it. God, who in many times, now speaking through the Son, then he says, but he's greater than even the angels. He was born less than, because he was born as a man through Mary, but he's actually going to be greater than. Why? Because he's going to marry you, and you will remove your being from here to there, above the angels. So actually, the angels will serve you, because they're ministering servants. They are not, they're just creatures. And even though they live forever and ever to serve, the wicked angels have to perish. Even though they live forever and ever, they will never be inheritors in the house. The house is not greater than the master that lives in the house. God lives in Christ. Christ lives in you. You are the temple of God. You will be his wife. You will be his son. You will be his adopted one. You will inherit all that he inherits. You are raised even above the angels. You are the Holy of Holies. God does not live in angels. He does not need cherubim and seraphim. What he needs, what he wants, is you. He wants us as a body. Not just you individually to live in your heart, in your soul, in your body, but he wants us as a church to live in the outer court, the holy place, and in the Holy of Holies. Because only in there, because he doesn't live in the outer court. He doesn't live in the holy place. He travels through, but he dwells permanently in the Holy of Holies. That's you. Starts in your heart, then he reaches into your soul, which is yourself, which he kills, because he has to re-educate you. He has to renew your mind, your will, your emotions, until you no longer think what you think, feel what you feel, want what you want. You are not you. You don't even know who you are. You're who he says he is. His you are. You're his temple. You're his bride. You're his beloved. You're the one he wants to dwell in forever and ever. He wants to relate to you and you alone. It's not a building. A church is not a building. A church is a people. You are the people. Now, what God is going to do, you cannot do. You can't make yourself the temple of God. You can't make yourself holy. You aren't holy. You aren't smart. You aren't anything. But he chose you, this building. He chose this building not to be the church, but to house the church. You're just the house of God. You're of his household. But he happens to also marry you. That means we never leave. That means you're a pillar inside, which can't be moved. Pillars don't walk around. So you are a pillar fixed in the house of God permanently forever, where God dwelleth. What kind of pillar? The kind of pillar that was where the curtain was ripped in two. The pillar that's before the Holy of Holies where you entered. You could leave at any time, but you don't want to. Once you taste of the age to come, you don't want to become apostate and fall away. It's my job to make sure you don't. How do I do that? I can't. All I can do is tell you the good news so that you stay. There's no hope outside the Holy of Holies. Whoever's in you is going to prove your capacity. In other words, you can't do a good work unless he who does all good works is in you. You're not good, he is. You're not holy, he is. So if the Holy One, who can't live in buildings made with hands, if he's the only one that can live in a temple made, not with hands, but made by him, that's you. He remade you so that you would now be holy. Now, do you believe you're holy? Do you believe you're in the outer court, saved by faith in Jesus? Do you believe you're in the holy place, being discipled unto him till you're dead? Do you believe you're in the Holy of Holies, where all you want to do is love and serve him? Which one do you believe? If you only believe the outer court, you'll have no works. If you only believe the holy place, you'll only simply want to be a Christian, but you'll never be one. You'll never behave in such a way that the world knows. You're the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Because they don't see Jesus in you. They don't see God the Father in the Son through the Spirit in you. That's the purpose of the church. The church is not just so that you get into heaven. It's so that heaven gets into you. So that the world may be saved through the church. That's why this is going to be a year of harvest and increase. Why? Because that's what God wants. Right hand, left hand. The best has been saved to the last. How many know the Lord's coming back? I'm not only a pastor, I'm a prophet. The Lord is coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. Why? Because of who she is. But who is she? She's in relationship to God. You are the chosen. Do you know it? If anybody knows it, please stand up. Say, I know who I am. I know that the I am is in me. Therefore, I am in relationship to him. I know who I am. I am able to do all things. I can do all things through him. Who strengthens me? Who guides me, leads me, causes me to die to my old man and to live in my new man? Who's ready to stand up? Praise God. Praise God. That's powerful. It's only the truth that sets you free. It isn't your brains. It isn't your emotions. It's just the truth. The truth is, you've been chosen by God. You didn't choose him. You did not choose him. He chose you, and he put you here. You can't be here. You can only be here. But once you get here, you may want to walk over and be here. This is where the men should be. Insofar as you're a bride, Jesus does it all. But insofar as you're a trustee of the bride, you have now taken the husband's place, and Christ is in you to now be a true husband. So, wives just express themselves. Husbands have to know if what they said was true. They take it to Jesus. He's the temple. Ask the temple. Jesus has chosen you to be his holy of holies. Lord God, I pray that each one that stood up did not stand up in the flesh, but stood up in the spirit. They did not stand up because they felt like it. They stood up because they knew that they knew that they knew from the inside that you cannot lie, that you are the living God. That's a miracle, God. That's impossible with men, but possible with you. I pray, Lord, that we will see the increase and the harvest, not because of what we would do this year, what we would say, what we would pass on, but because of what you would do and say and be. And we give you all the praise, all the glory. Bless this congregation in Jesus' name. Let us not only be individually committed to you, but let us be completely as a body, one in the Spirit, one in love, led of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, walking in love, one to another, dead to ourselves, alive to God, so that the world may know this is truly the house of God. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And give God the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.